Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Lift our hands toward heaven and talk to the Father in another 1 minute. Just open your heart to the Lord. Talk to Him. All that you have bequeathed us as your people on this side of the divide. Lord, we receive grace tonight to walk in the fullness of all your provisions and
in the fullness of our divine ordinations. Take all the praise, take all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much. Tonight is my first night. I'll just take out time to lay a few foundations, and I trust that we'll build on it even tomorrow morning as the Lord will help us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Hallelujah. I was ministering somewhere recently, and I was drawing my emphasis from this scripture. You know, when man was created, God had specific patterns that determined and governed his design. And after he was created, there was also a definite agenda that God had in mind. But one of the ways God decided to test the quality of his creation was to subject the man to a test of productivity. The extent and the efficacy of productivity was what God used to determine whether the pattern was correct and whether there was capacity to advance his purpose. If you look at the pattern God used in creating man, I'm sure the angels, if they had the capacity of jealousy, they would be jealous. Because the angelic realm is a realm of display. It's a realm of expression. So when you look at an angel, that angel does not necessarily need to introduce itself. You will know that this creature represents a dimension. That's how the angels were designed. If you study the book of Revelation, you'll see some strange creatures. You know, some of them had not entered the earth since the earth was created. They were allowed to touch the earth for the first time because of the power they carry. If they enter the earth, there'll be commotion. The Bible speaks of an angel that stands, and one of his foot was in all the waters, and another was on all the land. And when he screamed, one third of all the birds died. Now, if an angel has that level of power, if he visits the earth three times, there will be a problem. So the best thing to do is to keep them until the day that the earth will be destroyed. So when they come with a lot of power. The Bible said they excel in strength. So the angelic realm is a realm of manifestation. They communicate the creative masterpiece, the creative enterprise of God. If you study the book of Daniel and you saw the visage of Gabriel when he showed up, as Daniel saw him, he fainted because of the glory that they carried. So the glory of the angel is external. God designed them in a way that showcases his powers. So an angel does not need to necessarily say God is great. When you see him, you will know that whoever it is that engineered this being is indeed great, because they reveal God's majesty through their splendor. And that's how that civilization was, because the heavens were created before the earth. And it's not just heaven, it was heavens that were created. The word "and" in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That "and" you may think is a conjunction. Those are aeons. Those are aeons in a timeless reality. So that civilization existed many aeons before earth was created and before men came into the equation. Because that realm existed, the spirit realm existed, and God so pretended over that realm. Until a point came, God decided to embark on a new project. And one of the reasons that motivated the embarking of this project was the fact that one of the princes fell. They rebelled against God. And if you study the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 13, God gave us the reason why. He said, pride entered the heart of this prince because of his beauty. Because this angel was a unique type of angel. The Bible said his worship equipment, he doesn't carry them. They are wired into him. So when he shakes, you hear sound. If he moves, heaven comes under worship. He can arrest heaven. When God comes out of the east gate into the temple, he knows the sound to produce so that the majesty of God can be manifested. Such were his powers. The Bible said he reflected wisdom. He said, thou that sealed the sun. So he was the totality of wisdom in manifestation. He said, you were covered with 10 stones. And he mentioned diamond. He mentioned jasper. He mentioned topaz. He mentioned sapphire. All the stones that we look for. If you see somebody wearing a diamond necklace or ring or earring, there's a way you feel that you are wearing that the guy was clothed with diamond. So if he moves at night, he radiates light at different frequency. Imagine a creature walking and it's diamond. That was the glory. He said, because of your beauty, you allowed iniquity to enter your heart. And so God decided to embark on another project, because this angel, coincidentally, was given authority to rule over the first earth. And I don't have time to go into it. The theology is too long. But when he fell, God decided to raise another prince that will stand on earth as the governor to rule over the earth. That was when he went back to the studio of eternity. And in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, when he said, let us make man, the whole of heavens was arrested. Because for the first time in aeons, God has gone back to the creative studio to come up with something else. We have seen all the powers of the angels. We never knew that there was another kind of beauty, because we thought beauty was completed in heaven. When you see Michael, you see strength. You see Gabriel, you see mysteries. You see Lucifer, you see excellence. We thought beauty was completed. Is there still something in your creativity? Let's see what you want to come up with. Is it another angel? But God did not create another angel. Now, if God created us as archangels, that would have been beautiful enough. But he didn't. This time around, God wanted to manifest his own glory. And because they have never seen God, when God appears on his throne, the effulgence of the glory is too bright. You can't behold him. Even the cherubims that walk in the presence of God, the Bible says they cover their faces. You can't see him. He comes with too much energy and light. So when the 24 elders look up, if God appears, they fall down, because it will be difficult to behold him. And so for the first time, God now said, let us create another being in our own image. So all the heavens were arrested. Now let's look at what God looked like, because we've not seen his shape before. We've not seen his dimension before. Oh God of mercy. I want to explain Genesis 1:28. That's where I'm going to. Let us create a being that can host God and reveal God. And when God entered this project, God now did something. Because we discovered that God is three persons in one. If he had created us like the sun, that would have been glory enough. If he created us like the Holy Ghost, that would have been glory enough. If he created us like the Father, that would have been glory enough. But he said, let us make man in our. So the one God is creating captures the totality of the Godhead. So in the man is the revelation of the word, is the revelation of the spirit, and is the revelation of the Father. So when a man comes to his full potential, what you see is the manifestation of God. Why do you think our own glory is not external? Because if our glory is external, they will worship us. Because we are created in the image of God. So God decided to hide the glory in earthen vessel. We have to hide it. If we don't hide it, anybody that sees that being, we assume that is God walking. So he hid it on our inside. So the reason our own design was inverted was because we came to reveal God. We came to manifest God. We came to express God. So when a man begins to walk in his purpose and ordination, what you will see will be the fingerprints of God. That's why John spoke. He said, as he is, so are we, not in heaven, on earth, in this world. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you have seen me, it's as good as you have seen Christ. Because I have known how to enter into my internal elements to reveal the Christ to a generation. And he said, this is the mystery of this age. When heaven was created, there was a mystery that governed it. But when this age was created, the mystery is that God will tabernacle in man. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So when you know that God is in you, you are expected to manifest only glory. So when God created man in this order, there was one commandment he gave him. And that commandment is in Genesis 1:28. He said, be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. Subdue. Have dominion. The commandment God gave man in Genesis 2 was to protect him. That's not the commandment for his life. Because God knew that this prince will come back to deceive him. So when he said, don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that one was for his protection. The real commandment for the advancement of his life is in Genesis 1:28. So every man has a commandment on his life to be productive. Every man has a commandment on his life to be fruitful, to prosper, to multiply, to replenish, and to subdue his ecosystem. And so if you have not subdued where you are existing, it means you are not yet fruitful. To be fruitful is not that I have a car. To be fruitful is not that I'm promoted on my job. To be fruitful is not that money has come. All of that is byproduct. When you become fruitful, the manifestation is that you will have dominion. You will rule even in the midst of your enemies. See, the way dominion works is not when you are with your loved ones. It says that anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Where is that happening? In the midst of my enemies. So when we are talking about fruitfulness, we are talking about dominion that has no regard for the presence of your enemies. We are talking about dominion that has no regard for whatever is happening around you. In fact, when the territory becomes difficult, it becomes a platform for manifestation. But you need to understand that for you to be able to exert dominion in the first place is that God is hid on your inside. It is as God begins to manifest from within you that fruitfulness will become a byproduct. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. That's the commandment God gave man. This is why even those who are not born again, they enjoy a level of fruitfulness. Because this one is a commandment to man. Every man can be fruitful. But the man who is in God is not just fruitful, but he has dominion. And dominion not only in the visible realm, but even in the heavenly realms. He can rule among spirits. We are the only people who give commandments to every spirit, apart from the Holy Ghost. Every other person who works with spirits, like witch doctors, they cooperate with demons. In fact, they are serving demons. But when we show up, even demons have no choice. We command them. So when you become fruitful, it's beyond earth. It's even in the spirit realm where you begin to exercise dominion. But you see the problem? For you to walk in fruitfulness, there are laws. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, he says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit. That's one type of fruitfulness. So for you to walk in fruitfulness, there are laws that you must obey. If you don't keep those laws, although you have the potential to be fruitful, you will be barren. And my major message is to show you the laws that make for fruitfulness. But because it's my first night, before I go into the laws of fruitfulness, because there are about 8 laws I have penned down, I want to begin with your own capacity first. Because if you don't know how to enlarge that capacity that is in you, no matter how you become fruitful, it may be inconsequential. Imagine if an ant is fruitful. The whole fruitfulness of an ant is in a small hole, because that's how big he is. But if an elephant is not even very fruitful, imagine the impact. If he enters the world of ants, his little productivity will dominate a whole colony of ants. So before we look at the laws that make for fruitfulness, let's understand first, what is your capacity? And in case your capacity is small, what do you need to do to enlarge it? Because like I began telling you, you were created to model God. You were created to mirror God. You were created to express God. And so your capacity must be of that propensity. This is why Jesus gathered fishermen. And Jesus was talking to fishermen. He said, take the whole world. And the question you are asking is, These are not professors. These are not governors. These are not rulers. These are ordinary fishermen. Everyday peasants. How can you be talking to them about the world? Because God knows that if you know what to do to your capacity will be global. And so tonight, before we look at the laws of fruitfulness, let's see what you must do to enlarge your capacity first, so that everybody is carried along. Are we together? Are we on the same page? Glory to God. You must enlarge your capacity so that when you become fruitful, the impact of your fruitfulness will not be in your family. It will exceed your family. It will be global. And it will not just be global. It will translate into the spirit realm. And it will not just happen for a season. It will exist beyond you and become a legacy to your generation. It will transcend your very existence. So when a man is fruitful, its impact is global. Its impact touches the spirit realm. And its impact is transcendent. It exceeds its very existence. That's why till date, you and I are still talking Paul. Paul left here many years ago. But you cannot preach the gospel without Paul. That's what it means for a legacy to be left, not for a people, not for a family, for a generation. And that's what God has in mind if he's talking to us about a season of fruitfulness. I'm saying this so that you will know. After this conference, some of you will receive healings. Some of you will receive financial breakthroughs. Some of you will receive promotion. But what we are talking about is bigger than that. What we are talking about is for you to become a global phenomenon. So that when your name is mentioned, a generation will rejoice. And people will pray and thank God that you came. If you buy a car, your generation won't thank God for you. But there is something that will come upon your life, that people from different nations will wake up in the morning and they will say, thank you, Father, because matter came into this world. People will come publicly and say, we are happy that we are sharing this generation with you because of the imprint and the impact that you would have left on your generation. That's what it means to be fruitful. But for you to be fruitful, number one, your capacity must be enlarged. And number two, you must obey the laws that makes for fruitfulness. As I speak about capacity tonight, if my time is exhausted, we'll deal with the laws tomorrow morning. But let's begin our journey. There are seven spiritual engagements that enlarges a man's capacity. And if a man's capacity begins to grow, these seven things become the indicators that his capacity truly is being enlarged. The first dimension of capacity enlargement anybody who wants to be globally fruitful must sustain is visualization. Your word does not begin with your action. Your word begins with your imagination. If your visualization is small and poor, your word will be reduced to the size of your visualization. In fact, the scope of a man's life is the boundary of his visualization. If you cannot think it and if you cannot see it, you can never become it. And so anybody who wants to be fruitful must begin to deliberately doctor his imagination to enlarge his physical world. If your imagination is not doctored, your physical world will remain small. And no matter what happens to you, you cannot be fruitful. Even if you are, the impact will not be felt. And you will not arrive at the destination of fruitfulness, which is dominion. Are we following? So you must master the art of visualization. And I'll show you scriptures. In Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1, God encountered Abraham. God promised Abraham. God committed himself to Abraham. But Abraham never became a phenomenon. Because if he can't see it, he can't become it. He said, now the Lord had said unto Abraham. He didn't say the Lord is saying to Abraham. So this was an encounter Abraham had before now. The Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. He didn't say to the land I will give you. is the land that will show you. If you can't see it, you can't possess it, even if you are there. And that was why when Abraham came into that land, he ran from there to Egypt looking for food. The very land that he should possess, because he had not seen it. If you can't visualize it, this is not a prophet. This is God himself talking to Abraham. Now see the measure and the magnitude of blessings that God said he wanted to give to Abraham. He said, I will make thee a great nation. I'm not making you a great man. I'm making you a great nation. Number two, I will bless you. The word bless means empowered to prosper. So that's number two. Number three, he said, I will make thy name great. So when you call Abraham's name, doors will open. People should identify themselves after the order of Abraham. Number four, he said, I will, and thou shalt be a blessing. That means if you are connected to Abraham, you are blessed, even if you didn't encounter God. These are levels of blessings that God was giving to one man. And then he went further. He said, and I will bless them that bless you. So because you are affiliated to Abraham, God entrusts his integrity to you. I will bless them that bless you. And he didn't stop there. He said, I will also curse them that curse thee. And the final one, he said, indeed shall all the families of the earth, including my own family, including your own family, he said, indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What magnitude of blessing? Even if a prophet tells you this, it will move you a great deal. Now, God of heaven was talking to a man like this, and Abraham knew it was God. But Abraham did not make any move because he couldn't imagine it. He couldn't see it. He kept following his father, Terah, until this point. It was after Terah died that Abraham began to trouble himself. I need to see this thing that has been told me. That was when Abraham started stepping out to try to see what God said. And he kept rigmaroling until he began to see it. And when God saw that it was impossible for him to receive it, God himself now came and started a mentoring program for Abraham. If I don't get this man to see this thing, he will not become this thing. And if he doesn't become this, it will affect my program. So after God promised Abraham, God came to mentor Abraham on how to see. And in Genesis 13 verse 14, here was God talking to Abraham. He said, lift up thy eyes from where you are standing. It's not about walking everywhere. See, there are people running everywhere, doing everything. Tomorrow, yesterday, slippers. Today, they are selling cattle. Next tomorrow, they are spelling paper. It's not activities first. You don't become fruitful by activity. He said, from where you are standing, lift up your eyes. See first. The Lord who saw green vegetation and ran there, that land became desolate. So when you are running without seeing, you have a problem. It may begin as though it will be fruitful. Give it time. It will dry up. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because the guy didn't lift up his eyes. And when Abraham lifted his eyes, he said, all that you have seen, I will give you. Not some things, all. When it had to do with his child, God promised him, I will make you a father of many nations. Abraham said, how can I have a child? It's only this Eliezer of Damascus that is with me. I don't have an heir. Have you seen it? You must know the formula. You see to take. If you don't see, you can't have it. And so God came back again. Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6. He took Abraham out. He said, look up. See all the stars. If you can number them, that is how your descendants will be. And the Bible said, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That was when Isaac came. If you can't see, you can't have. And so anybody who wants to be fruitful must train himself. You must doctor your faculty of imagination. See, every spirit knows this. Why do you think you look left today, you see a naked person? You buy a razor blade, you see a naked person. You look at the movie, you see a naked person. Even your phone, your writing pad that has nothing to do with picture. If your phone is connected to the internet, you open your writing pad, a naked person pops up. What do you think they are doing? They are trying to corrupt your imagination gate. Because what you see is what you will become. If you can't see it, you can't become it. And 1,000,001 people carrying dangerous prophecies on their head have their imaginations corrupt. Angels appear to them, it means nothing. God talks to them, it means nothing. They attend 1,001 meeting, it means nothing. Because if the imagination is not purified, the possession cannot be accomplished. Millions of dollars are being pumped every day to promote adverts that corrupt the mind. Why do you think in our world today bad news go viral, but nobody wants to hear good news? Spirits know this thing. They want to create fear. They want to create corruption. They want to create seduction. And so the potential that should translate to productivity is corrupt. And because it's corrupt, if you like, go to heaven, come back, you will remain unfruitful. Because you can't see it. And so when Paul was mentoring the church in Ephesus, he had one prayer for them. The eye gate must be corrected. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. He said, when I heard of your love in the faith, I cease not to pray for you that the eyes of your understanding. He was dealing with the eye. I know I can declare money will come. I know I can declare breakthrough will come. But if you like, be exalted. If you don't see it, you will go down. And so this was his prayer. Go to verse 17. He said, for this cause, you will see that five things Paul mentioned was about visualization. Five things. And this man knew that this scripture will last for more than 1,000,000 years. And that prayer is still effective till date. Imagine if Paul prayed for a donkey for them. We don't use donkey again in this era. The prayer would have been useless. So he knew something that can never expire. If you can see, in any era, in any generation, you can become. He said that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know five things: wisdom, revelation, knowledge, seeing, that enlightenment, that you may know. Five things. All of them is around visualization. Sophia is the ability to interact with knowledge. Is the ability to interpret knowledge. Revelation is the word apocalypsis. Is the unveiling to open you up into reality so that you can perceive. The next word there, knowledge, is the word epignosis. It means to experience something. The next word is enlightenment, is the word fortizo. It means light is shed upon something. So the guy was praying, the whole prayer was around visualization. Because the moment you can see it, even if I don't lay hands on you, you will have it. It's the authority to possess. It's the authority for productivity. It's the authority for fruitfulness. This is one of the major things that every Christian must practice. Listen, Christianity must be practiced. Christianity is not a fluke, and it's not something you do impulsively. Neither is it something you do religiously. You must practice it as a lifestyle. And one of the ways of practicing Christianity is to use the word of God to change your thinking process. But many people don't know. See, look at one instrument Paul used here, prayer. That means when you go to pray, it's not just about I prayed for 4 hours. Now, if you have not even been able to pray like that, there's a problem. But in case you are praying, you have the capacity to pray. You must understand that one of the major blessings of prayer is that it's in prayer that your visualization is corrected. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he said, ask of me, I will answer. But I don't only answer. He said, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. So I correct your knowing faculty by showing you things. So when you find a believer praying, most times it's not because he came with a request or a list of requests. It's because he's trying to correct his visualization. When I went to the market, I saw too much evil. When I looked at the internet, I saw too much evil. So I need my eyes washed. I need my understanding purified so that the creative power of God can be awoken on my inside. And so you can be in the place of prayer for 10 hours, not because you have a request. A surgery is going on. Your lenses are being corrected so that you can see great and mighty things. And it's in seeing great and mighty things that your life takes over and you advance and affect your generation. In Romans chapter 12 verse 2, he said, do not be conformed to this world. Because when you see what the world shows you, you will align with the world. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By putting the word there. How then shall a young man keep his ways? Psalm 119 verse 9 and 11. He said, by taking heed unto thy word. He said, thy word have I put in my heart. So you put it there and the word begins to work. In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, he said, let the word not depart from verse 20 out of thy eyes. Put them in the midst of thy heart. In verse 23, he said, they are life to them that find them. The moment you get it, the word walks into you. And as the word begins to walk into you, suddenly the power for fruitfulness is activated. The power is already there, but you have to visualize for it to work. That's why Ephesians 3:20 said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. That means God responds to your thinking. God responds to your reasoning. God responds to your visualization. And what that scripture means is that God will not be able to do if you don't ask or think. It's as you think and ask that God becomes able to do. And so if you want to find a man who is fruitful and productive, there is a word inside that is always, is like a factory producing things. You must teach yourself how to visualize and to visualize things that are consistent with your destiny. You can use prayer, like as I've already said. You can use meditation of the word, or you can look at mentors who have gone ahead of you. But by all means, focus. You are a Christian. You are looking at impacting your generation. You have no business watching Kardashian. You have no business watching, what's their name? Angelina Jolie. You find Christian. You say you have a ministry. You say there's an anointing on your life. And then the people you are watching are naked people walking everywhere who have nothing to do but feeding the world that is interested in lust. And you want to be a Catherine Kuma. You want to be a leader. See, whatever you want to be, you must see who has become it to become it. That's why it says, follow them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. As you are seeing them, you are becoming. Till date, if I'm going for a miracle service, I slot the CD plate of Pastor Chris Yoakinome. I'm watching the way cripples are walking with ease. I'm watching the way cancer is living with ease. And as I'm seeing it, something is bubbling on my inside. I'm watching Benny Hinn. He spreads his hand. Eyes, blind eyes are opening. Deaf ears are opening. And then you look at the stage, you see witch ears arranged. The moment I see that witch ear, something rises on my inside. And I see it after a while, I start praying in tongues. I start praying in tongues. And sometimes as you are praying, a point comes, you now see yourself doing the same thing. It may not be happening yet, but give it time. Not too long, what you saw, you will manifest. And as we are seeing it, gradually we are beginning to manifest it. Because this law does not change. It says, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It said, we are metamorphosed into that same glory, from glory to glory. So your metamorphosis is tied to what you behold. If you want to enlarge your capacity, you must see in that order. But unfortunately, the world has put us in a grave of watching evil and unfruitful things. So you find a young man and a young woman. He has his phone glued to his eyes from morning till night. What is he watching? Pictures, clicking likes, nothing that impacts on his destiny. You cannot come for a conference overnight and expect that oil will be poured on you, hands will be laid on you, or prophecy will come. When you are visualizing the wrong thing and think you will be fruitful, that will be deception. That will be religion. It will never work. Because most of us think Christianity has no regard for laws of the spirit. You are seeing what will make you go nowhere. But because there's a conference, they say an apostle is coming. They say they will anoint people. You will jump there. Some people, even this night, after this night session, they are leaving here to go and watch pornography. They are leaving here to go and watch a secular musician. They are leaving here to go and watch somebody who is doing nothing that will take him nowhere. Believe me, brothers and sisters, in 10 years, you will be where you are. God is able to do to the degree that you ask and think. If you can't visualize it, God will not be able to do. It's a law. It's a law in the spirit. If you want to be productive, if you want to be fruitful, guard your eye gate. Guard your ear gate. Guard your skin gate. It has a lot to do with who you become. Nobody who is great did not pay that price. If you don't do it, you will remain where you are. For we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. We are metamorphosed. Time will not change you. It's what you see that will change you. Time will only prove that you are going nowhere. It's what you see that will change you. And this is why you don't need any Facebook or TikTok or any billionaire to show you things. Create what you want to see. Create what you want to hear. As I am here, if I'm on the internet for 30 minutes, I see something that is not consistent with where I'm going, I click do not recommend. It's not just not interested. It shouldn't come up again. Because I'm not strong. My strength is the degree to which I see. And so the man talking to you about righteousness, if he sees pornography tomorrow, he'll be sleeping with somebody. It's what you see that determines your strength. And so because I know I'm not strong, I regulate what I see. So that I stay accurate because of what I'm seeing. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be like. He said, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. You want to be a leader. How many world leaders have you listened to? Do you even know how world leaders dress? Do you know how they talk? You say you want to be president, all you have is prophecy. You are joking, sir. You are joking. You will never become it. You don't have the capacity for it. You want to be president? How many presidents have you listened to? How many presidents have you studied? Do you even know the discipline of a president? You are not preparing and aligning yourself and you think you will become? No, it doesn't work like that. If you want to be a president, you must understand the protocol. You must understand the discipline. You must understand the training. And from when you are nothing, you will start living like one. That's why some of us don't dress carelessly, because we know we are world leaders. And I don't know any world leader that exposes his chest and wear pants moving about. This is what will make the anointing work. This is what will make the prophecy work. Because God won't raise you to bring reproach to him. The first law for capacity building is visualization. By all means, please hear me. If your mind is going haywire, declare war. Shut down everything. I'm telling you this. Like, see, this thing is a factory. If you notice you woke up in the morning, your mind is thinking you can't control it. The first thing you do is start talking what you want to see first. Because when you are talking, you stop thinking. So you arrest your mind. When your mind becomes quiet, quickly begin to feed it. Until it complies. Because give it time. Those things you are thinking, you will do it. And you will be doing it crying. You will still be doing it. You will ask for forgiveness. You will still be doing it. Because the moment you allow it incubated in your mind, you are already a slave to it. It's a law. You want to be fruitful, you must build capacity around that area. See, build visualizing capacity until even when you are sleeping, you are thinking your future. I'm telling you, when you are sleeping, you are thinking your future. Watch it, hear it, connect to those who have it, until when you are sleeping, you are seeing yourself doing it. You go to sleep, you see yourself addressing global audience in the stadium. As you wake up, you are hearing it. After a while, all the forces of the spirit will be mobilized in that direction. I can't tell you how many times I dreamt talking to stadiums packed. I can't tell you how many times I dreamt seeing people rising from wheelchairs. I can't tell you. I saw it, I ate it, I thought it until it inundated me. Sometimes you are in school, you doze off, you are already in the crusade ground. Because the thing has saturated you. And not too long, it becomes your manifestation. This is one area you must build capacity. So some of you, you may need to go and delete all your apps and download new ones. Because of what you see, there is a, you know, the way the internet is designed now, there is an algorithm system. If you click on pornography, you don't need to click again. They will supply you enough. They will supply you. They will supply you. You will have enough of it. If you click anything, they know, you are interested here. Here we go. They will load it to you. If you click football, you don't need to click again. They will load it to you. You will have more than enough. Click secular music. You don't need to click. The moment you carry your phone, they will line up. This is what you ask for. We are here to feed you. And they will feed you well. And so if you know you want to build this capacity, you have to re-edit your world. Listen, you are not weak. You are not unfruitful. You are just manifesting what you have seen and heard over the years. If you change your diet, you'll be amazed the strength that you will command. You'll be amazed. You are not weak. You are not weak. You saw the wrong thing. You heard the wrong thing. That's why you think you are weak. Change your diet. At first, you may not love it, but just keep it. Be looking at it. Something is happening to you. After a while, what you are seeing and hearing will train you to love it. You start watching miracle videos. You start watching motivational speeches about world leaders, about economic giants that change their world. You are watching, you are watching, you are watching. After a while, your brain will no longer have data. So it will have to go to the data available. And you start a new process. And that process will bring you to where you ought to be. You want to be a businessman? How many Christian businessmen who are doing well that you are listening to every day? You want to be an apostle, a miracle worker? How many apostles are you listening to every day? You want to become a world leader? How many Christian leaders? They are everywhere. How many are you listening to? How many are you watching? That's what will change your life. Capacity to visualize. Number two. Second area of capacity building is to abide. Sir, build capacity to abide in God's presence. I'm telling you, there is something he does to you. The devil will create a system that will make you hate God and his presence. But if you want to become fruitful by God, you must learn to stay with him. In Mark 3:14, he said he called them to be with him so that he will send them. If you are not with him, he cannot mobilize you. You have to be with him. Listen, learn this. It's better to go to your prayer room and sleep there than to sleep in front of a television. So even if you are feeling sleepy, go there. Sleep and wake up and pray. If you are sleeping, play prayer. Let the prayer be playing at the background. Play a worship song. Sleep there. There is no law that you must be awake every time you are in your prayer room. The most important thing is that you are under the shadow. Stay there. Hear what the Bible said. Isaiah 40 from verse 28 to 31. You will see amazing things. See, there are things in the scriptures. Learn it, your life will change. He said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" He said, there's no searching of his understanding. He's giving you God's CV. And then he went further. He giveth power to the faint. He's showing you now that this is who God is. But God is also generous enough to help those who are not there to come there. So he's telling you what God can do for you. But he will also tell you how God will do it. He giveth power to the faint. He said, unto them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He now said, in case you think you don't need what God gives, let me warn you ahead of time. Even the youth shall faint. Because among men, the strongest are youth. He said, the young men shall utterly fall. That means, don't make the mistake of relying on your natural abilities. The Bible has already excreted men. He said, woe unto the man that trusted in the arm of flesh. Jesus speaking, he said, it is the spirit that quickens. John 6:63, he said, the flesh profits nothing. So if you think, oh, I am fair, so I have favor, you are joking. Oh, I am young, so I can do it by my strength, you are joking. He said, even the youth shall faint. He said, the young men shall utterly fall. That means their fall will shock them. It will be colossal. The young men shall utterly fall. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord. So the people God increases strength is not Christians. It's not churchgoers. It's they that what? Wait upon the Lord. He said, then he renews their strength. And he didn't just say he renews their strength and left it in limbo. He said, they mount up with wings like the eagles. See, when you stay with God, something will happen to you that you too will be shocked. You will ask yourself, is this me? 6 months ago, I was a beggar. 10 months ago, I was a fornicator. 5 months ago, I barely had food to eat. What happened? Strength came to you. He said, they mount up. That means you are not waiting to be carried. You have now learned a way of ascending. They mount up with wings like the eagles. He said, they run, they don't get weary. They walk, they don't faint. So, fainting and weariness will vanish from your syllabus. Not because you bought anything, you just waited. If you will spend time with God, what will come out of you, your generation can't recover from it. In Isaiah chapter 60 verse 15, he said, you were a wasted land. He said, no man went through you. He said, but I will make you an eternal excellency. The joy of many generations. When God wants to bless you, your generation is too small to receive of it. There are things God will do with you in 60 years after you are gone, that your generation will realize, the next generation will realize the weight of what you presented to your God. But the technology is in what? Waiting. This is a Gen Z generation. Everything is in a hurry. We cook fast, we travel fast, so we think God too will be running. He's a king. You will wait until he shows up. You will wait. He's a king. You will wait. It must be by his own terms. Look at Moses at the age of 80, climb Mount Sinai. Only God knew how many days he climbed that mountain. Only God knew the blisters he must have had. He showed up. You assume that God will come and say, welcome, you tried. God didn't show up. The guy stayed there for another 6 days. It was after 6 days that his majesty appeared. Because God doesn't come late. When he comes is the time. His majesty arrived. And when he finished with Moses, as Moses went down, the Bible said even Moses did not know that the skin of his face had changed. Because as he saw him, he became like him. So the Moses that went up was different from the one that came down. The one that went up was a seeker. The one that came down was a lawgiver. In fact, a point came in 2 Corinthians 3:15. You know what the Bible said? It said when Moses is read, Moses became the law of God. When Moses is read, and that's why he couldn't die, he became an immortal. A man became so relevant that even after God killed him, because the guy couldn't die, God told him, go to the mountain Abarim, in the mountains of Nebo. There I will kill you. Because if you leave him, he will remain here till today. You will go to Jerusalem to see Moses, and he will come out and say, how are you? When God knew that he had touched immortality too much, God told him, I will kill you. But see the irony of the whole matter. Even after God killed him, he was still relevant. So much so that Satan came looking for his dead body. A dead body was more important than a living people. Because of the capacity to stay. And an archangel was mobilized. Go and take that body quickly. Don't allow Satan to take that body to the museum of hell. They will learn some things about glory. They that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like the eagle. Listen, being fruitful is not the problem. What is your capacity? You go to God's presence. Hey, Father, I thank you for today. You are happy. Hey, they got 5 minutes, you run out. And you want to affect your generation. Do you know how many barren women are on earth? Do you know how many orphans are on earth? Do you know how many sick people are on earth? Do you know how many confused people are on earth? You think you will carry the knowledge of biology and philosophy that you read in the university for 4 years to address the problem of billions of people? Do you know what it means for people to stop for 30 minutes to hear you? You know how busy their world is? Every minute counts. The implication of time is money. Nobody has 30 minutes to waste with you. If men sit down to hear you, it means you are coming from a superior dimension. I was preaching somewhere recently, and the men that were present, some were professors. Former secretary to federal government was there. former deputy governors of CBN, people that should be my father. What do you tell them? Anything you read, they've read it. And they have lived this life 3 times your age, so they have better experiences. The only way you can talk and they will hear and say you did well is when you talk from a superior realm. Because the realm you now download from is the realm where the Ancient of Days himself dwells. If you want to affect your generation, hear me, you must master how to abide. That thing that chases you from your prayer room, better go and fight with it. That thing that chases you from God's presence, if you want to be fruitful, better go and declare war on that thing. The next time you go to your prayer room, lock the door. Tell yourself, I'm not leaving here until after 10 hours. If I will die, I will die here. Because this is where my future is. Your future is not in America. It's on the altar. Look at what Psalm 91 said. Let's read it. Psalm 91 from verse 1. I know most of us pray this and it's good to pray it. But it's not telling you to pray this. It's telling you what your reality should be. It says, he that dwelleth. This is not a Christian. Whoever that dwelleth. So if a Christian doesn't dwell, he will suffer. He that dwelleth. Anybody who makes up his mind to abide. He said, in the secret place of the Most High. He now began to show you. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is not a prayer. He's telling you the outcome of his life. If you will dwell, he said, number one, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom will I trust. That means God will become your fortress because you abide there. Go to the next verse. He says, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So whatever calamity is happening around you is not your business. He shall cover thee. He's giving you and he's telling you the outcome of dwelling. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Go to the next verse. He said, thou shalt not be afraid. Even fear will be removed from you. You won't know when. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. So they say, people are dying. It's not your problem. There's epidemic. It's not your problem. No matter what the devil throws into the earth, you are already exonerated. He said, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness. I have no business being robbed. I have no business being kidnapped. I have no business being raped. I have no business being attacked by any form of plague. He said, nor the destruction that wasted in noonday. All of this thing, you have no business with it. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side. 10,000 by your right hand. He said, it shall not come near you. Not because you are running away from it. It has enough intelligence to avoid you. And it's not because you are praying. You are not waking up every day and saying, don't be professional. It doesn't come near you because you are already abiding. And why? He said, only with thy eyes shall thou see and behold. So you'll be hearing the news, it will not touch you. And the reason is because of what? What he said in verse 1 and what he said in verse 9. He said, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. If you stay with God, there is no way you will not be fruitful. If you like, sell water. If you like, sell slippers. If you like, sell cars. No matter what you do, is not a factor. You will prosper. Daddy read a scripture from Psalm 1 a moment ago. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this law does he meditate day and night. That's abiding. He said, it's like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. It produces its fruit in its season. He doesn't miss. There's accuracy in productivity. He said, his leaves shall not wither. If you abide, see, build capacity to abide, my sister. Build capacity to abide with God. It may be difficult at the beginning. Don't worry. Start. At a point, the Holy Ghost will now help you. The Bible said widows brought their dead back to life. This is not for professors. You don't have to be educated. Just stay with God. Start talking to him from the level you know him. And watch what happens with your life after 1 month. after 2 months, after 3 months, you will not be able to explain it. I've taught these principles again and again. Sometimes I run into people on the plane. I was traveling the other time. I just sat, the man talked to me and said, "Is this you?" The first problem he had is that you look smaller than you look on TV. I said, "Oh, maybe it's technology. This is me." He now shook me and said, "Thank you. God bless you." This is a businessman. He has applied all the strategies he knew, both from the one he studied in economics and the one he studied from his master that mentored him. Nothing was working. And I started teaching on staying with God. He just stayed there. One day he woke up, he was going out. He heard the voice. And that voice started coming to him. His investments, the voice would tell him, "Do this one. Invest here. Don't do this. Don't do this." It was like following a compass, following a navigator. That's how business began to rise from capital of 4 million. As he was talking to me, he was already on over 900 million. And he said he was traveling to broker another deal that day. Everything turned around and he couldn't believe it because that voice was always there, but he couldn't hear it. The earth was too noisy. So when God spoke, the voice was choked in other voices. God's voice is not loud. It's only distinct. And you must train yourself to pick it. And the way to train yourself is to abide. Because when he comes in a still small voice. Many people have not stayed with God, so the noise of the world overshadows the voice that should lead them to their productivity. Build capacity. Build capacity to abide. Every day, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, stay there and begin to grow in it. Tell yourself, "I grow now because I can silence my spirit in God's presence for 6 hours. See how your life will turn around. You will be shocked. I know the place of prophecy and I'll talk about it. But I'm telling you things that should define your life. It will make prophecy work faster. God is not running with the world. You have to wait for him. Number three, you want to be fruitful? Humility. Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. I'm showing you why our generation is struggling. He said, "Blessed are the meek." He said, "For they shall inherit the earth." So when a man becomes humble, he doesn't only have what he labors for. Even the labor of others is ascribed to him. You know, Jesus said, "Others have labored, I have sent you into their harvest." So there's a possibility of inheriting already made blessings in this world. One of the ways of entering into it is by humility. God is looking for humble people to give them inheritances. But the problem is, most of us are too full of ourselves. Because the world has taught us that we must package. And the idea of packaging is to exalt yourself and act and present yourself the way God has not presented you. And this is why many fail. In James 4, verse 6 and 10, you will see this scripture. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He said, in due season, God will exalt you. He will exalt you. God is in the business of exalting men. But one criteria he will look out for is humility. You think why Moses was so great? In Exodus 7 verse 1, God told Moses, "I have made you a god unto Pharaoh." Why was he so big? Numbers 12 verse 3, he was the meekest of all men on earth. So God was the one who exalted him. Most of us are too high-minded for the blessing that is coming. You don't have anything yet. You are behaving like a peacock. Is it when God gives you authority? Authority to bind a nation. You think he will take that risk? Capacity. Listen, tell yourself, "I refuse to be proud." See, sometimes pattern your life to demonstrate humility. When people want to show themselves, you go down. Teach yourself how to be humble. And be marking your own script. Be marking your own script. Don't think you are bigger than your brother. If he thinks he's bigger, encourage him. God bless you. My prayer is for you to be bigger. When you want to shake somebody and he wants to prove that he's bigger than you, he's older than you, bend down. I will make it easy for you. Bend down. Salute him. It won't take anything from you. But the thing is that God is watching. God is watching. In the day of exaltation, it's the person with a low head that he will exalt. The one who is standing like this will go down. Capacity for fruitfulness. We are out of time. I'll just list the other three. Go and look at it from scripture. If you do these things, sir, there is no way you will not be fruitful. Peter was speaking about some of these things in 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 6 to verse 8. He said, if you do these things, you must prosper. It's not possible that you will fail. I'm telling you, you must prosper. Build capacity in the area of humility. Refuse pride. Anywhere you act proud, go back to God and cry and say, help me. And if in pride you were arrogant to somebody, go back and apologize. You are training yourself. That's how you enlarge your capacity. You enlarge your capacity by telling God to help you and by quickly taking responsibility for every arrogant behavior. Even we who are preachers, sometimes I say some things. I come back and say, sorry, that thing I said, I'm a proud man. God is helping me. Please bear with me. I won't say it again. As you do it like that, you have put something in your consciousness. The next time that thing comes, you will kill it. Because what will determine whether you enter your next level is the degree of your brokenness. David knew this. The difference between David and Saul was humility. If not, Saul would have been a better king. He was a warrior from his youth. But David was a broken man. The moment you rebuke David, dear and dear, he will tear his clothes and repent. Paul will tell you, people are watching now. If you must correct me inside. Come inside now. Why will you rebuke me in the public? He's not interested in taking the correction. It's what people think. And that was how he tore his own nation from his own hand. Samuel lamented over Saul because he loved the man. And God said, I have rejected him. Not because he's not a good warrior, but because his pride won't let me walk with him. Capacity. The fourth capacity you must build is thankfulness. Some people cannot be fruitful because they are ungrateful. You help somebody, deliver him from somewhere or from a situation. When he is now delivered, he comes and say, hi, that little help you gave me the other day. That little help. So the help is now little. Next time you will not see that little help. You do something for them, they say, I'm grateful. You know, that's how it is. They are now showing gratitude. They have suddenly discovered that they have American accent. Oh, that the other day, they come and say, thanks for the other day. Thanks for the other day. Next time, that other day will last for 1 year. I'm telling you why we are not fruitful. Because sometimes, just one help will shift the whole business. But the person who should help you will refuse. Because you don't qualify for it. It's a waste to help an ungrateful man. It's a waste. And that's why most of them are not grateful. You help somebody, you make somebody, the very day he's announced, that day you become his enemy. That's the world we live in. Ingratitude. And when God sees that, God will avoid you first. In Jeremiah 3 verse 19, the Bible said, out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving and the sound of them that makes merry. And he said, I will multiply them. The moment you become thankful, multiplication is natural. Look at the life of Jesus. Everywhere Jesus multiplied things, the first thing he did was, I thank you, O Father. John chapter 6 from verse 6 to 11. Even when Jesus brought the dead back to life, it was thanksgiving. Father, thank you because you always hear me. Lazarus, comfort. The key to productivity, the key to fruitfulness is thankfulness. So if you want to be fruitful, build that capacity. Somebody does something for you that is very small. This is not politics. Brother, I just want you to know I'm grateful. Thank you so much. What you did for me meant so much to me. I don't take it for granted. Thank you, and may the Lord bless and increase you. As you are thanking him, you say, wait, I was thinking of doing this one, but I called you, it didn't go through. He called you in his heart. Now that you have shown gratitude, take more. Build that capacity. Listen, even if you want to enter a door, somebody waits and say, enter, turn. Thank you very much, I'm grateful. From very little things, develop it so that you become sincerely grateful. It will open doors for you and it will increase you. Go and look at those who are really wealthy and making impact. You will see them very grateful. Is the poor man that has nothing that thinks you want to intimidate him? Is it that small thing he did for me that he thinks the whole world should... That's the problem. A rich man, a big man has no problem saying, oh, thank you so much, I'm grateful. It's a poor man that always has challenge. Imagine that man. Just because he gave me a lift, he thought that... I'm not saying anybody should control your life because he helped you. But I'm saying, be deliberate in being grateful if you want to be fruitful. The last two is giving and prophecy. Go and study it. The Holy Ghost will give you understanding. In Proverbs 11:25, he said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He said, him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. You will never see any crop grow except as you first of all scatter seedlings. If you don't scatter, nothing will grow. The people who are not productive, they always want to keep everything for themselves. That's why they remain small. They think it's wisdom. Keep all you can. Abi, can all you get and keep it. Or how do they put it now? They gather everything. The Bible says it doesn't work like that. Give a portion to seven. Give a portion to eight. You don't know the evil that will come upon the earth. He said, in the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. Some people are so stingy that even in church, they are looking for justification why they should give to God. This is God. Oh. The reason they are debating is because they don't know why. And you see them, I know there are pastors who have bastardized this doctrine. But there are many people, they are attacking every pastor. All these pastors are taking our money. It's not about pastor, it's their stinginess. Leave pastor out of it. The house gear in your house. Which soap do you buy for her? When was the last time you gave to a poor person? See, people who give have no problem with the subject. When you find people arguing, debating, quarreling, and accusing, is first of all stinginess. It pains them that he leaves them. And God is also included. They come to service. When you are praying, be blessed. They say, this is a man of God. When you are preaching, God has blessed us. Jesus died for your sins. They say, preach Christ. This is the gospel. When it has to do with God gave you, they receive it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. They say, these are the preachers we are looking for. They are preaching the gospel. Meanwhile, they don't know that this gospel is God gave you. Jesus died for you. The moment the gospel now demands responsibility, either pray, go for evangelism, or give, they say they have come again. And they think they can be fruitful. No, it doesn't work like that. Jesus said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. See what you do. Build your capacity. See, including my offering. When God started training me, I started giving 10 naira. As a university student, it was difficult. God told me, give 10 naira. I'm going to church. Money is in my pocket because I don't know how to say no, God. I remove that trouser, hang it, wear another trouser. I come to church, I say, there's no money in my pocket, Lord. Next time I will give. You started from, all of us started from somewhere. But the Holy Ghost didn't stop. No man of God coerced me to give. And I teach my people, give as led, give by revelation, and give based on maturity. I don't coerce anybody. But see, if your Christianity is sincere, it's the Holy Ghost himself that will trouble you to give. Because your productivity is tied to it. From my offering, from 10 naira, 20 naira, 100 naira, 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, and we are growing. This is offering. I'm not talking tithe or first fruit. And you see one person is so big, you are wondering. You say, God, why did you favor this person? I'm here too. He's seen all of us. You are the one who determines what you get. Even the widow gave, Jesus didn't forbid it. In fact, Jesus commended her for giving all. He said, this one gave more than them all. Because she gave all she has. Capacity. Listen, build your capacity. My offering must increase. My tithe will increase. My first fruit will increase. Build it. Be deliberate. And don't only give in church. Give to orphanages. Give to the poor. Anywhere there's an opportunity to give, be the first. If you train yourself like that, you'll be shocked. The little we have, you have, will multiply. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. Tomorrow I'll begin from prophecy. Bow your heads, let's pray. Ask the Lord tonight, Father, the grace for enlarged capacity, give it to me. I can minister in the spirit, I can minister in the prophetic, I can stir the anointing, but you need to know these rudiments so that prophecy can work. I know the excellency of the prophetic. With the prophetic, dry bones can turn to a great army. I know it, but build this capacity so that what God does for you will not be a fluke. It's something you can replicate anywhere, anytime. You leave Abuja to Sokoto, you are fruitful. You leave Sokoto to Namibia, you are fruitful. You leave Nigeria to Zambia, you are fruitful. You leave to Cameroon, you are fruitful. You leave to Ghana, you leave to Togo, you leave to America. Anywhere you go, you are fruitful. Because now, your capacity is enlarged. That's how these things work. Can you ask for that grace in the next 1 minute? Father, increase my capacity. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Like luck in this realm, spirit govern every manifestation. You must know something, operate in something for certain things to happen to you. There is a law that is compelling it. There's a law. There are many stingy preachers. Even God, they don't give. They come and teach you about giving, they don't give. Give your first fruit, give your tithe, give your offering. The preacher will not give. And then he's wondering why he is struggling. Nobody is giving to him. This thing does not exonerate anybody. Anybody that wants to be fruitful must become a giver. Can you ask God for this capacity? Listen, when I come here tomorrow, I will minister in the spirit. But I don't want oil to come on your life for no reason. I want that anything God brings into your realm, you can keep it. You will not lose it. You can keep it. Because now you have the capacity. I want to pray for us now. If you build these capacities, no season, no territory can defy your productivity. Father, in the name of Jesus, the grace for enlarged capacity, let it be released on everyone hearing me tonight. The grace for capacity enlargement that provokes fruitfulness, let it be released on everyone hearing me tonight. I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, every force making you small, they go down now. In the name of Jesus, arise and shine. In the name of Jesus, receive capacity enlargement. In the name of Jesus, become a joy of many generations. May the strength of the Almighty mantle you from tonight. As you step out of this meeting, receive encounters that will shift you. Receive encounters that will change your story. Receive encounters that will enlarge your capacity. In the name of Jesus Christ.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.